Hey, C. Sparky Fifer on 1250 AM, The Fan, 55 past the hour, which means it's time to get into some local sports talk delivered up by Young Express. If you're looking for a new gig, new career, check them out at youngexpress.com. Joining us now, J.R. Ratcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to talk about this article you and Kurt Hoke put together in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, kind of going over the attendance numbers, concession numbers for this year. In comparison of the Brewers to the rest of Major League Baseball, Brewers fallen a little bit back compared to years previous.
Yeah, it's trying to look at the Brewers in context of baseball at large. I don't think it's a huge secret that baseball in general, Major League Baseball, is losing fans. That's been the case even before the pandemic. But, you know, the Brewers have been a top 10 team despite being the smallest or at least one of the smallest markets for really going back to 2017 for sure when they were, you know, when they were competitive that season. And now we're kind of seeing them slide back a little bit. They're 14th in baseball, which is still pretty good for a small market team. Of course, it's very good, but the drop that we've seen is almost 16% of fans coming into a series against the Cubs here in the end of August. So that's one of the 7 or 8 biggest drops in baseball. So I kind of was just curious why, like, what made Milwaukee different? You know, there's a lot of challenges, COVID, gas being really expensive. I mean, there are a lot of things that affect everybody, but I was trying to figure out what affects the Brewers and why Milwaukee, which is this place where the fandom is really, I think, pretty great for this team in general over the last few years, why the decline might be so sharp.
And you'd have to think part of this might be concession stand prices, maybe. I mean, you in that article talked about, they're one of the top prices, most expensive beers, sodas, they're one of the most expensive, hot dogs, they're one of the most expensive. But then as you look deeper into it, just overall average concession stand prices, the Brewers aren't nearly as high in other categories.
Yeah, the numbers we found are a little mixed because, yes, overall concession prices-wise, they're like a top 10 to 12 in terms of how expensive they are. Now, if you wanted to break it down by ounce for the drinks, it's not as bad. In fact, you know, that shifts them all the way into being one of the 10 to 12 most affordable. So, I mean, people aren't paying per ounce, though. You know, they're paying dollars for beer and for soda, and it's kind of it's not a flat rate, but for the most part, you only have a couple choices. So that's pretty high for them. You know, I'm sure they'd counter with something that's true, and that ticket prices are very reasonable. Parking seems like a lot, but it's actually in line with the rest of Major League Baseball. Some of this is all, of course, driven by inflation. Some of it is the Brewers' call, but I did hear a lot from people about concessions when we posted this story. Got a lot of response, and a lot of people are really bummed out about concessions. There have been some price increases in recent years. A lot of people telling me that the quality isn't as good as they're used to. I'm not a big concessions guy, so I don't firsthand knowledge of that. But just a lot of people feeling like that part of the experience isn't as good as it used to be, either because of price or because of the quality. You can bring some food in to American Family Field. You can bring drinks in that are sealed, that are non-alcoholic. So you could skirt the need for concessions, and I'm sure the Brewers would point that out. But also, you know, if you're going with your family for 3 hours to some place, you want to be able to buy food on site. So I think most people would be interested in partaking if the prices weren't so high.
JR, what about the cost for the family of four? That's typically the numbers that everybody likes to put out there. For a family of four to go to a baseball game, it costs this much. And we start talking about ticket prices, and we start talking about parking and how much that costs and the concessions and that whole deal. It always cracks me up because I saw it related to in your story, and you use like Bernice Harris in order to figure out that family of four. So you're putting them up kind of in the nosebleeds a little bit and in order to kind of justify the family of four. I wonder how much of this across the country goes to mom and dad don't want to sit in the upper deck. Mom and dad want to sit closer to the action and don't want to pay the money. So from that standpoint, the kids don't even get to go to the baseball game because mom and dad don't want to sit in what they view as nosebleed seats.
Yeah, I think one of the, if you're trying to sort of defend baseball not being as bad as we think it is, you know, you don't want to tell people here, if you have the worst possible experience we can drum up for you, the cheapest possible experience, if that's necessarily going to make people feel better about it. That, we did mention that as kind of the cheapest possible alternative. We looked at the median price, so, you know, what's straight middle of what you can pay for tickets at all these different places. And the Brewers were still reasonable for tickets and parking. I think, I don't remember exactly, it comes out to like $167 or something. when you have a family of four for a median ticket plus the median parking plus the so the average stuff. That's still it's still pretty reasonable. It's still, you know, certainly the more the cheaper half of baseball. I don't remember exactly if that's whether they're like 13th or 14th. So not terrible. But you know, it's still just basic dollar amount. You know, baseball in general is not the easiest thing for a family of four to attend, especially like you said, if they want to sit in better seats or they want to park a little bit closer to the stadium. You know, American Family Field is not. It's not downtown. It's not surrounded by buses and public transportation. You're getting there because you're driving there, and maybe you're parking on a side street and walking forever. But if I've got like a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old or whatever, I'm not doing that. That's a long
way. But JR,
so.
But that's the thing, though, right? So let's talk about that for a second. If it is a Bucks game, you're not tailgating. You're not bringing your own food in. Like, none of that is occurring. So for a family of four, if they wanted to not have to pay for concession stand prices and everything, they could grill hot dogs or hamburgers or whatever before the game and essentially, you know, get the kids something to drink once they get inside a game to get them through it or whatever. And you could save a ton of money that way versus if you're going to a Bucks game or something like that where you can't really tailgate and now you're spending money either at the restaurants around there or maybe you're eating at home to save a little bit of money. But that tailgating aspect should, I would think, help out that family of four from a cost perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. And like I said, you can bring in sealed water into American Family Field. You can bring in even a sandwich that you have, if it's small enough, into American Family Field. Like, you can get around this stuff. Of course you can. That's why we looked at the median, you know? Like, there are going to be people who are local who understand how this works and knows the policies well and will get around it and save money. I mean, it's not. I'm not saying that every family is going to spend X amount of dollars if they try to go to a ball game, but you know, they're also courting a lot of fans from outside Milwaukee. You know, they got 82 games to fill seats. So they got bringing people from Madison and Green Bay and Appleton and Racine and Kenosha. And like, there are going to be a lot of families that are coming in that either don't know that or don't want to have to stop somewhere to get food or make their sandwiches before they leave. I mean, I can understand that point of view as well. You know, every fan is different. Every fan is going to be more proactive than others in trying to make this experience as cheap or just as comfortable as possible. So it's hard to get a really crystal clear picture of, you know, it's hard to say you will likely spend this amount of money going to a baseball game. It's all, you know, curated to your own personal interests and needs. So that makes this a little bit challenging.
When I retweeted this piece out that you did earlier, got a ton of response on Twitter from a bunch of different people. Nick says, after 15-ish games last year and another disappointing end, no bats in the offseason to address their needs. I'm in a wait and hold mode. Only 2 games this year I went to, and they were free. Not going to pay to see baseball. That's from Nick. How much of it is that, and you brought it up in the piece, the Atlanta Braves model is, not that Brewer fans are spoiled, but maybe to a certain degree, you know, you go to the playoffs for a few years in a row, expectations are higher. They're not playing to the level that Brewer fans expect now. And maybe Brewer fans are simply just saying, I'm not spending my entertainment dollar, which there's less and less of because gas prices are higher and food's higher and everything around us is so much more expensive. The few entertainment dollars I have, I'm not going to go watch a product that I don't think is worthy of my money.
Tons and tons of responses about the actual on-field product, the team itself. And I do think it's interesting. 2019 is what I'm using as a comparison, which is, for any number of reasons, a little tricky because 2019 was before COVID, so you always have to factor that into what the landscape today, and there's a lot. But 2019, that Brewers team actually kind of underperformed, I would say, for most of the season. They were coming off that great run in 2018. They were just a couple games above 500 into August and into September, and then they go on this run in September. But they still drew very well. Now, they draw well because 2018 got everybody's, you know, blood running a little bit. They were excited, and there were going to be some really good sales on the front end. I would say that this year's team has performed better than 2019. By record, they have. They've been in first place, or they were in first place for a good chunk of the season. That's obviously changed now. So I do think there's a little bit of just expectations changing. With enough playoff runs in a row have trained Brewers fans to aim for higher, you know. Like, this team was supposed to run away with the National League Central. They haven't done it. It's hard to get behind that, you know? It's not like they're an underdog coming from behind. It's not like they're a team that's meeting expectations even. They're just not playing as well as we thought they would. So that, I'm sure, contributes a little bit. Now, I still think, and this is pointed out in the article as well, I think the biggest thing here is just the way that the labor stoppage kept the ticket process from starting earlier than it did in terms of group sales and other big sort of you know, ticket milestones, starting to sell tickets even for individual games. And I think that really slowed down the Brewers and maybe hurt them more than the average team and really put them behind the eight ball. So there's also that sort of corporate thing to keep in mind, that not having as many group sales, like two-thirds what they normally have for group sales, is really holding them back.
Yeah, and I read that too. Birdman, he tweets in too, says, another thing, you wait in line forever to get food and beer or whatever it is you want to get. 9 out of 10 times you miss action because you're gone for at least an inning, if not longer. I haven't had it that as many times. I think I've had more success in lines than I've had situations like he's pointing out. Do you think the Brewers do good enough around the ballpark as far as having enough monitors and TVs up for people that are waiting in line and getting food and so forth to keep track of the action?
I think so personally, but you know, I know the stadium really well. I know that if I'm really in a hurry, I can go up to the fourth deck where it's not as attended and get into a shorter line. So maybe it's for somebody who doesn't know the stadium as well, maybe it's not as clear. Or we did get a lot of people who were not happy with the overall experience in the stadium, and sometimes that was because of the lines of concession stands. Sometimes it was just talking about the volume of the music, or there's no fireworks now, or they just don't like the in-game entertainment. I mean, there were definitely a lot of different viewpoints, perceptions there. From what I know as a fan, I don't think of it as particularly lacking. I don't know if I think of it as particularly engaging either, for whatever that's worth. You know, it doesn't feel like they've maybe changed a whole lot from when the stadium first opened. It feels like kind of the same experience. But I don't know if I'm the best audience for that, because I don't know if that's why I'm going to a game. You know, there are a lot of fans who go to the game who don't truly care if the team won yesterday or who could name everybody on the field. Yep. That's a huge chunk of that population. So those would be the people that would have to be, you know, in touch with that sort of thing, I think.
I think anytime you're running a professional sports team that has a product that's 3 hours long, you have to figure out how to market to, like we were talking about earlier, the family of four. How do you keep kids engaged in that game so they're not telling mom and dad they want to leave in the second or third inning? Like, how do you keep them interested and keep them there longer, in which case forcing them, the parents, to buy concessions, to buy cotton candy, to buy ice cream, to buy something in the pro shop for the kid? How do you keep them engaged as long as possible? And that's in-game entertainment, and that's something that I guess only the Brewers know if that is working the way they want it to or not. J.R. Radcliffe is our guest, and follow him on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe, of course, with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. J.R., thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
There he is, J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Him and Kurt Hoge did a great job writing that piece. Make sure to check it out. And, of course, don't forget, 55 past each hour, your local sports talk delivered up to you by Young Express. And, of course, for the full interview, check it out right here at 1250amthefan.com and on your Odyssey app.